we're in this series. I've got so many different names I could call it, but you know, we've got these revelations that God's been given to us, and the first one was Caleb. When Caleb, after 40 years, had an inheritance that was waiting for him. He was promised the mountain of Horeb. And it got to be 40 years, and it was time to claim his promises. And so what did he do? He said, well, maybe I'll get my mountain. Come on. Where you been? Give me my mountain. Right? That's yeah, come on. And then we think about Moses standing at the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was breathing down his neck, and he'd had 1.5 million people at least waiting there for the Egyptian army to come. And he says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord when the wall of fire came up and held the Egyptian army back. And then he took the rod of God. Hallelujah. He took the authority of all of heaven and earth and said, the rod of God, and held it over the ocean, and it split wide open. I don't know how long it took him to go across, but it was quite a while. But still, the thing that blows me away is the dry ground. Come on. Come on. That dry ground. That's just amazing, right? And then last week when we talked about Joseph prophesying to his 12 sons to become the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said, surely God will come. Surely God will come. What's that mean to us today? Well, the first thing it means is he is going to come again. Amen. He is coming back. Hallelujah. The world doesn't want to know it. They deny it, but we believe it, and it is going to happen. Jesus is coming back again. And every day that goes by is one day closer to the second coming of Christ. Hallelujah. Right? But surely he will come. And then to bring it down to us individually, surely he'll come into the individual circumstances and situations of our life that we're walking through. And surely he'll come to bring us defeat. Right? No. Surely he'll come to bring us victory. I already got a testimony before church started how God was working. And it was in Nicole's life, and I just love it. Come on, run in here and bring testimonies in of the goodness of God, and be like the psalmist in Psalm 27. My heart would have fainted, my heart would have been broken, my heart would have given up had I not believed. Everyone say believe. Believe that I would see the goodness of God in my life, in the land of the living today. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to go into the story of David at the city of Ziklag, and we're going to go to the message called Recover It All. I'm not satisfied with some of the things that have happened in our life, and we are going to recover it all. When the devil comes in, when circumstances happen, when people make mistakes and all the things that happen, when things don't turn out the way you think they should. Anybody here ever had that happen? Come on. Well, you know what? God is a restorer of the breach. He restores that which has been stolen. He gives back that which has been taken wrongfully. Because God is a God of justice. Amen? And we're going to take our things back. And so as we talk about recover it all, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, this actually, I think the first time I had heard a message on this, it was one of my mentors about 20-some years ago, and he called this the message, What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. Think back for just a second and think about maybe a worse day of your life. And at the time, it stung. At the time, it stunk. At the time, it can rip you apart. It can really, really tear you up. And David had a situation that was the worst day. And we're going to go through that, and then we're going to see how to conquer that, right? Because God doesn't want us to live there, and he wants us to recover it all. All right, here we go. Now it happened. You know, it's hard not to preach to this, so I'm just going to mix it up, okay? It's kind of what I've been doing. Now it happened. How many of you had things happen? Yeah. Now it happened. Okay. Well, get over it. Put your faith in and get over it. All right, move on. When David and his men came back to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked it and burned it with fire. Who else drives to town? But, you know, I just thought about driving into town from north on Highway 81, and I just had a little quick blip about imagining the entire town of Strongsburg burnt to the ground. Absolutely burnt to the ground. Everything gone, wires, everything. Devastation. That's what they went up with. It was burned with fire. Verse 2. And taken captive all the women and all those that were there, from small to great, that means old or young, and they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Let's keep rolling through it, Larry. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives had been taken captive. I just didn't want to trip over those words. Now David was greatly distressed, and people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Man, you can see where we're headed on this thing. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring me my ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord said, pursue them, for you shall surely take them and get some of it back. Come on, shout it out. Recover it all. Yeah, come on, that's a promise. All right, now, we also want to read the verses 17 through 19, Larry, of 1 Samuel. I'll read them off of the outline. Thank you. Then David attacked them. Did I have that on the main thing that I sent you, or no? Oh, okay. All right. Then David attacked them from the twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. And so David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. He recovered some of the things that the Amalekites took. Thank you. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they'd taken from them. And David recovered all. I believe today he's putting something in your heart to recover back something that was stolen. All of it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take a look at the outline. Let's read verses 1 through 3 again of 1 Samuel 30. Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag the third day, the Amalekites invaded from the south, attacked and burned it with fire, and taken captive the women and those who were there, both small and great. They didn't kill anyone, but carried them all away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Now you know why this could be preached with what to do on the worst day of your life. That was a worst day. Now, we've all had tough days. We've all had good days. And hopefully we got the good days that outnumber the bad days. Somebody say amen. But we need to know sometimes what to do, because sometimes things happen, right? And I want to say the tests of faith will come to us without warning. There was no warning here that anything was going on. But the tests of faith come without warning. World War II would have never started in Pearl Harbor if they had had a true warning of what was going on with the Japanese army. They didn't have a warning. They got blindsided the worst day of their lives. So don't let the circumstances kill things in our life, but let it be a springboard. I like to use that terminology. Let it use a springboard to recover everything that was lost. All right, let's go to verse 4. Sometimes we get hit. No, don't cry. You know, there is a season to mourn. There's a season to weep. Don't stay there. David said to the people who were there, lifted up their voices, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. Man, that's amazing to just cry until you can't cry no more. Have pain until you can have pain no more. That's kind of amazing. You know, and you go, well, this is Old Testament. Well, I know a verse in the New Testament talked about Jesus. He wept at the death of Lazarus. Not necessarily at his death, but at the lack of faith that was there. But he wept. He said Jesus wept. John 11:35. Shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. All right, let's go on. What to do when it even gets worse? Verses 5 and 6. And David's wives were taken, and they were held captive. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Not only was the town plundered, but now all of his people were doing what? They were going to turn on him and stone him to death. That'd be like the whole congregation turning on the pastor. Stone him to death. He was the leader. He had proven himself, right? So he couldn't turn to the people anymore. Who did he turn to? He turned to God. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your own might. Yeah, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have to take that focus when we're hurting, when we had something stolen from us, or circumstances move us into those tough places. So we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And sometimes what happens is, in a situation that happens occasionally, people will get really, really bitter when bad things happen to them. And I'll tell you what, bitterness will rob you. It'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your finances. It'll rob you of your natural thinking. Helen can nod with me on this one. You run into people that are bitter in the latter part of their lives, and they are no fun to be around, let me tell you. Yeah, and Nicole, too. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know what's cool? There's a grace for that season, because grace will disarm your bitterness. Grace will disarm your pain. Grace will disarm directions that you shouldn't go. Hallelujah, and I love that. So praise the Lord for that. And it's even proven that bitterness has physical effects on you. I mean, I don't want to go through the whole list, but you know, your blood pressure, your immune system, your ability to function normally. If you get bitter about something, you got no place to go but down with bitterness. Amen. But David changed. He didn't allow that to happen. He stayed strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. The other thing that sometimes happens is we sometimes get into the blame game when we're in circumstances. We want to blame people. But really the one to blame is the devil, right? And we need to just keep that focus. So we need to get a plan. Sometimes when things happen, we just need to get a plan to say, God, what do you want me to do? So that's what David did. I'll get the verse here. Yes, thank you. Well, let's look at 7. David sent to Abiathar the priest and Abimelech's son, and he said, bring my ephod to me. So what was he going to do? He went to worship. When you're in your deepest pain, go to worship. When things aren't working out right, go to worship. Go to worship and stay there until you get it. Amen? That's what he is. He put his, and it was probably the same linen ephod he had on when he danced so much before the Lord that he lost it. Yeah, he was dancing. Hallelujah. So he was looking for God's plan. In verse 8, he said, David inquired of the Lord and said, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And the Lord answered him and said, "Pursue them, for surely, surely God will come." Last week's message. Surely God will come. Surely you will overtake them. Love it. Look at that. And he answered, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you'll recover some of it," right? Recover it all. Okay? Hallelujah. So we need to find out what God's plan is and follow it. So we want to look at this verse in the last three verses in 1 Samuel 13. And hallelujah. He came back on. David attacked them from the twilight until evening of the next day. How long was that? How long did he fight? From the twilight until the evening of the next day. Thank you. One day. He had to fight for one day. It wasn't a long, drawn-out affair. He fought for one day. And not a man of them escaped except these 400 young men that rode on camels and fled. Verse 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And verse 19. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken from them, and he recovered it all. So thankful for these stories of faith that help us in our life. So, if you've got a situation, or when a situation might come in the future, get into worship, get a word from God, and then act on it. That's really what this whole message boils down to, okay? How many? We all have situations. I thought, as a matter of fact, when I was preparing this, I thought back to some of the things that we were really believing God for. Really believing God for. And all of a sudden, you know, things didn't work out well. And so there's a few of those things that I said, "Lord, you just got to make it happen." And then I just park it. I don't whine and complain and go to everybody. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Go to 20 people. "You got to pray for this. Got to pray for this. Got to." You know what? I just parked it. Some of us just need to park some things and let God take care of it. Ooh, that was a pretty good word. Yeah, park it and let God take care of it. So in our circumstances that come up, as long as we're living, if we get some things that are bigger than us, we need to go to worship. We need to get a word from the Lord, and then we can act on it. Because sometimes we're supposed to fight the battles different ways. And sometimes we're not supposed to fight them at all. We'll go into that necessarily right now. But anyway, so recover it all. Everyone say that. And that's the end of the message. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of restoration. That when we were lost and dead, on our way to hell, that when we got saved, you set us right. You set us right, and you set us on the path of health and peace and prosperity, and heaven is our final destination. So, Lord, I just pray that in our circumstances that come up in our life or ones that we're messing with a little bit, Lord, I just pray that we would attach our faith to them and then leave them at your feet. Leave him at the throne, like the song said. That was a 15-year-old song we were doing. And here I am, kneeling before your throne. What do we do at the throne? We lay down those things that have happened, and we leave them there. And we say, "God, you just take care of it, and let him do it." and we go on about our business. So, Lord, I just thank you, God, for victory in the house. I thank you, God, that we can be like the hockey team, and we can win, and we can have victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we believe your word. We believe your word that we'll recover it all. We'll recover, Father. And we thank you for that. Where the devil has stolen, Lord, we thank you. We're going to recover all. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to wish every family unit here just a very, very special and happy Thanksgiving, and hope it goes really well. And then we'll come to church next week. We can celebrate what goes on.